What?
Nothing.
Oh, come on, honey. Tell me, what's wrong?
He's wearing a wedding ring.
He's a monster. Honey, he probably uses the N-word. And not even in private. He probably uses it on Twitter. Those people suffered 400 years of bondage at the hands of that piece of shit's ancestors.
Those people?
Sorry. Black people.
African American.
Honey, it's...
Privilege, Julius.
It's perfectly fine to call them black again.
According to who?
NPR.
Which consists almost exclusively of...
white people.
Ending this program with Jake Bugg and Oblivious. Tony Malaby Trio, just discovered him recently, saxophonist. You heard Dorothea La Cautiva from his album Adobe. Tony Malaby. Mose Allison, love his singing, love his piano work as well. Old Devil Moon, Mose Allison. And thanks to Gus for his ever practical contributions to this radio program. You are invited to stay tuned for Ken and Andy. 7-second delay. I have no idea what tonight's topic is, but I'm sure it will be ridiculous. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. Back next week. Tonight's episode was originally broadcast in November 2011 live from the UCB Theater with our guests, Academy Award-winning animator Bill Plimpton, as well as Ilana Glazer and Abby Jacobson from the then forthcoming HBO series Broad City. Live from the UCB Theater from 2011, here's 7-second delay.
From the UCB Theater in New York City, it's 7-second delay. Everybody clap. Tonight's guests include a talented animator who could have sold out but didn't until tonight. Everybody clap. Two pretty girls who are so pretty that they've been given their own TV show. Everybody clap. And a wonderful new singer-songwriter from a mystical, magical place called Australia. Everybody clap. Now, please welcome Andy and his only friend, Ken.
Thanks for coming, everybody. We have a huge show. It's going to be a very high entertainment-to-audience ratio tonight. So, big crowd tonight, Andy. Lots of great guests. Ilana Glazer and Abby Jacobson of the new TV show Broad City are with us.
I've heard only good things.
And Bill Plimpton, twice nominated for an Academy Award with us tonight.
One of my personal heroes.
Is that mic on?
No.
It's on a little bit.
Yeah, that's all I need.
And Carly Bruce, who plays songs with melodies. I know you're a fan of those.
Yeah. A friend of mine's roommate has a cousin who's a big fan.
Of melodies.
Yeah, melodies. Yeah.
Yeah.
How's this going so far?
Well, we're a little starved for audience
members. I'm wishing for death. What are you wishing for?
I'm wishing
the
for...
the sweet, sweet release that death will bring. What are you wishing for?
I'm wishing for the path to reopen.
The path train closed?
Yeah, the path train's closed. That's partly why we're starved for audience members.
Yeah, that's
tonight.
Why, right.
Yeah. And Barack Obama's in town. I'm just saying that because there is, you know, an outside chance he might stop by.
To raise money?
From
our audience?
To see Bill Plimpton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan of the indie animators.
So, you know, if ever there was a night when we should actually go outside and try to bring more people into the theater.
That's your idea? That we go outside?
Tonight would be the night.
And ask people to come downstairs?
Yeah, I've been going outside a lot on my shows lately.
Have you been?
Yeah. On my show today, I actually drove around the block.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Why?
No particular reason. I just didn't have enough music pulled out.
So this is what we're down to here. We're down to this. We're talking about your failed morning shows on our failed afternoon show. We're reliving your bad moments. Oh, okay. So you want to go outside?
Yeah, let's go outside and try to get some more people in the audience here.
That won't work. That's not. It's too cold.
You don't want to go outside?
It's cold.
It's not that cold.
Haven't you ever heard the phrase, it's too cold? This is the kind of night that phrase was kind of born on.
Do you want to stay here and I'll go outside?
I don't know. Why would you bother? How many people are you going to get? Who would come? The only way to get them down is if we lied to them. Like we told them Sigourney Weaver was coming.
Okay. We can tell them that.
Oh, we should say Sigourney Weaver's coming, but then quickly add, she's not yet committed. Not fully committed.
I mean,
as a legal out.
You've lied to get people here before. You told that drummer that we had weed for him.
Yeah, that drummer.
And he almost killed you.
Yeah. Hey, we got to be careful what we say about him because Gabby's dating him now.
Okay.
So if we have to lie to people, I think we'd have to lie. So Sigourney Weaver, like who should we say is down here? Smokey Robinson? People love him. Remember
go,
the miracle?
Go on.
Kiefer Sutherland?
You're going to hit Gene Mansfield sooner or later.
Gene Mansfield, the late Gene Mansfield. Okay, we'll have to lie to people. And also, we should tell them, we should offer them like some kind of discount and tell them like it's normally $30. But
yeah.
We can get them in for $5.
And we also want help from the audience. We're going to be up on the sidewalk.
Oh, don't do
that. And,
what do you want to do? Yell? Come on
yeah,
down.
Yeah, we want them to yell.
Yeah, that won't scare them. It's kind of like how that guy in Austria got girls to come down to his dungeon, isn't it? He went out on the street and said, I have Sigourney Weaver downstairs. God. It's so cold.
I don't think he used a microphone.
No, that's the only thing we have going for us is that we have microphones.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll just be accosting people. All right, let's try it.
Okay.
You want to try it?
Yeah, let's try it.
But wait. I'm so sorry. What are the people in the studio going to be looking at if we both go upstairs?
DA yeah. the DJ. I'm the organ. And the beautiful cardboard cutout of you saying go to hell. I'll stay here and they can look at me.
I'll stay here too. I'll stay here. Yeah, why don't we send them upstairs?
Why don't we all go up on the sidewalk?
Yeah, let's go and get people.
Come on.
No, that will scare people. All right, anybody that wants to come, let's
all
go.
Right, all right, let's go.
Anybody
going up on the sidewalk. Audience, you stay here unless you want to come out on the sidewalk. You will have a mic. Yeah. I got a mic. And you got a mic. Here you go. Got to keep up a patter because we're on the...
I almost don't want to meet the people.
We're on the radio.
Coming.
All right, let's go.
Okay,
here we
these
are.
Two people. Hey,
look, there's kids.
How you doing? We're doing a live show downstairs right now. We have almost no audience. Would you consider coming down? Oh, no. I heard that actually they canceled. That show's canceled. They had some China car trouble. Oh, you can both go to hell. Okay. Okay. Hey, are you guys interested? We're doing a live show downstairs. Oh, for the love of
God. Oh, they're in the audience. There's a kid.
Yeah, no, you stay. But now what? Now we really have to stop passers by? How about that kid with the violin?
He's gone. There, somebody right there. There
hey,
you go.
Excuse me. We're doing a live show downstairs. We have... he's busy right now. At least he has an excuse. Hey, can you help us out? We're doing a live show downstairs, and we have no audience at all. We just need people coming down. I have a coupon to offer you. Normally, it's a $30 value. Just say yes. Just say the word yes. Just say maybe.
Maybe.
Okay, that's good enough. Come on down. We have... Are you a fan of Sigourney Weaver? I got to get a different celebrity. Who else? I can't think of anyone else. Hey, ma'am, we're doing a live show downstairs, and we're desperate for an audience.
I would like to. But
yeah,
I
but go ahead, but.
A previous engagement.
Yeah, I want to hear. Where are you going? Where are you going? Is it personal or business?
It's personal.
Hey, sir, we're doing a live show downstairs. So, hi, we're doing a live show downstairs. Oh, we're not. We're gonna. Are we gonna strike out?
Can we pay somebody
to? I want
to
hit you now.
Let's.
I'm so mad.
Can we pay somebody to come downstairs?
No, that's because then everyone in the audience will be so mad.
Can we pay?
They've had to pay out of their pocket.
So we should pay everybody to stay.
Oh, this is
we
terrible.
Just pay everybody
hey,
to say.
Hey,
people
man,
are
we're doing a live show downstairs. Wait, come on over here. We're doing a live show. Hi, we're doing a live show downstairs. We have no audience, guys. We're doing a live show. You must. You know what the problem is? Maybe
here.
Should,
this woman
hey,
right here.
Hi, we're doing. Oh,
oh
so scary.
She put up. She, you know what she did? She put up her hand to block you.
She you know put, what? We shouldn't give people the option. We should just tell them they're going downstairs. Okay, let me try that.
Hi,
sir,
we're doing a live radio show
sir,
downstairs.
Right down here.
Okay.
Sir, we're short an audience and we need audience members. So you're going right downstairs.
Okay,
there
what's
we go.
Your name,
what
sir?
Is your name, sir?
Brian.
Okay, go right downstairs.
An audience down there, okay. When Brian comes
let
in.
Me tell him. Hold on, let me just tell downstairs. It's only $5 a ride. Hey, wait, it's not $30. Brian, it's normally $30. We're going to charge you $5. Yeah, go.
He's got a card. So.
You just got what?
A card.
Yeah, we'll get your card. Yeah, here's a card. Here you go.
No.
Here you go. Oh, for the love of God. There you go. Just go downstairs. We got Brian. Okay. We'll take one more guy. Kenny, are you satisfied? Is that the end of our...
When Brian comes in, we want everybody to say, welcome,
yeah, make
Brian,
sure he pays.
Okay?
Hey, excuse
here you go,
me, ladies.
Brian.
We're doing a live show downstairs.
One, two,
thank
three.
You. Good luck, they said.
Welcome,
that is perfect.
Brian!
That is just perfect. Look, there's Bill Plimpton right there. Look, we have... Look, I can point to who the guest is.
Yay, we did
that's
it, Andy.
Hey. Hey, you want to hear this man being interviewed? This is the man where he's going to talk about his life in independent animation. This guy, I'm going to talk to this guy. Will you two get your asses downstairs? I'm so serious. Why? Why? I had a friend once. They're wonderful. Yeah, no, congratulations.
Hey, Laura, can you tell him
ma'am,
down
we're
here
doing
now?
A live show. Ma'am, this way, ma'am. This way. Ma'am, we're doing a live show, and we need an audience member. So right down here. No, you don't. You're going right in here. You're going right in here. Ma'am, please. I've never asked you anything before in my life, have I? Please, I know. Well, no. Well, that's a good point. I'm almost famous. This is Bill Plimpton. I'm interviewing him. Are you a fan of Kiefer Sutherland? You know the show 24? He's coming. Not yet committed. Yeah, take a rain check. Yeah. Is that the end of it? Is that the end of our little... Why? We got someone? You're satisfied? What do I do with this mic? That's the end of our little thing.
Andy, you can just drop the mic down. Thanks for staying, everybody. We really appreciate it a lot that you had the opportunity to flee when we invited you up on the sidewalk, but you did not. You stayed, and you're going the distance.
What are you talking about? Who are you talking about?
I was talking about you. You know, we're just talking smack about Andy Breckman.
So we got one guy. We've increased our numbers.
We got Brian. Thank you, Brian. Big hand for Brian, everybody.
So it took us 10 minutes to get one guy. At that rate, how long would it take us to fill Shea Stadium if that was our goal?
I don't think Shea Stadium...
We need 40 years.
Shea Stadium has been demolished, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's part of the challenge.
Yeah.
We'd have to rebuild it. You want to get started?
This is why they don't let us use UCB microphones.
Why?
Because of your habit of banging the microphone on the table.
It's a habit. I can't help it. It's a habit.
They actually demanded of me that we only hook up WFMU mics at your desk.
Tell them it's a habit. Okay, hey, let's get going.
Yeah, Andy, we have the first time that we've ever had a guest who has been nominated more than once for an Academy Award. He's the king of independent animation. Please welcome Bill Plimpton.
Thank you. Thank
welcome,
you
Bill.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Excited to be here.
We're excited to have you, man.
That was fun out in the street.
Yeah, that was
very
was
cool.
Fun.
Yeah. A little street improv. I like that.
Fun is a funny word, isn't it? It could mean entertaining people, or it could mean what we just did. It could mean little of anything.
So now you are one. Are you the only animator left who's actually hand drawing everything yourself?
Pretty much. But there are starting. These young kids are coming up, and they're not able to get work at the big Pixar studios, so they just decide to make their films themselves. So this new generation is really into indie animation, and I think it's very exciting because now we got internet and Flash and all these programs. You can just make your own film at home and send it out via the internet, and that's the future.
And it probably when you started out it was more expensive and time
extremely expensive. Yeah, the film stock
What were your first efforts? Your first independent efforts? What physically were you doing? You were drawing each frame by hand.
I had to hire everybody to put the film together. I did all the drawings. I still do all the drawings, but I had to do a sound person and an editor and a technicians and cameramen. It's a lot of work. Now I have a studio. We can just do it all in the studio, so it's very cool.
And how many people are in your studio is in this neighborhood?
It's two doors away. It's
really?
Around the corner, actually. Yeah, it's very close. I don't want to give you the address because I don't want to get a bunch of people crashing the place.
But there's nothing to worry about in that regard.
Were you there today?
I was, yeah. I just
walked
over.
And what is a typical day for you? What did you do today?
Well, I woke up at 6 in the morning. I'm working on this new animated feature called Cheatin'. It's kind of a James M. Cain kind of love story.
Noir
gone wrong.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, very
okay.
Noir.
Is it your script?
It's my story, my characters, and I started from 6 to 10 animating. Then I go to the office, and then I deal with all the...
Wait, so 6 to 10, you're in your apartment.
In my apartment, yeah. Animated.
And you're at a digital board, or you're at
a pencil and paper, regular
and
old
paper.
Light box, like the old Disney people used to do it, yeah.
But what does that mean? You draw one. I don't know how this works. You draw one frame, and then you lay a piece of paper on top of that.
Yep. And then move the arm a little bit, and move the leg a little bit, and you put it all together, and it moves.
And are you playing rock and roll music while you do it?
I listen to country western, actually. Emmylou Harris is my goddess. Do you play Emmylou on your channel?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, she's my goddess.
Yeah, she's very good. So Ken doesn't play much of her. Ken has a quota.
In fact,
music.
I met her at the Sundance Film Festival, and I was such a fan. I gave her all my DVDs. I said, I'd do a music video for you for free, and she thought I was a stalker, so she just walked away. It was very embarrassing.
Oh, I'm sure she knew.
Very terrible.
And well, Tom Waits gave you music for this DVD that you did, Idiots and Angels.
Yes.
This is a feature animation?
Yeah, it just came out last year, actually, and the DVD was only released a few months ago. So check out your local, Amazon or DVD store. It's a feature film, very dark, very noir, very anti-Disney. And Tom Waits, Pink Martini, and Larry Campbell did some great music for it.
And Disney turned you down when you were 14 years old. So have you been trying to get back at them your entire life?
Do you want to hear the Disney story?
Yes.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes, I want to hear it even more than
you. Do you have good lawyers? Are you got some good lawyers?
Oh, yeah, we have good lawyers standing
by. We have
by.
Libel insurance.
I do have my brother-in-law standing by. But wait, you're 14 years old. When did you start drawing? It was before.
Well, I've been drawing since I was 3. I always wanted to be an animator. I love Mickey Mouse and Daffy Duck and all those people. So it's really a childhood dream come true. But I thought I could get a job at Disney, so I sent a bunch of drawings, your typical Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse stuff. And I got a nice letter back saying, you love your work, but you're too young. Come back in 10 years or whatever. So I still had that burning ambition to be a Disney animator, and then I got nominated for an Oscar in 87, and this was animation was starting to come back then. They had Roger Rabbit and Japanese animation, MTV, so animation was hot. And so they sent a lawyer to my apartment, which is another 2 blocks away, and he comes in, puts his briefcase down, and says, Disney wants to offer you $1 million to come work for us. I said, yeah, finally, my revenge. I get to work for Disney. And people say negotiating with Disney isn't so much good cop, bad cop, but bad cop, antichrist. And I think there's some truth to that. For example, I said, well, can I work on my own wacky little films on the weekend? Said, yeah, you can do that, but we will own them. I said, well, what if I, you know, tell someone a funny joke? Oh, Disney owns that. Well, what if I have a dream? Well, that's ours. And you know what? That's the way they work, and it's okay, because a lot of people don't mind doing that, devoting their lives totally to Disney. But I still want to do my crazy, sex-crazed, violent, mature adult
You didn't animation. Even want to give it a shot for a year.
You know, I think after about a month or two, I would have been sneaking in little obscene scenarios in the films, and they would have fired me. So I just don't think it would have worked. So also, I would have had to move out to
LA. You didn't take it.
I turned it down, yeah.
But twice you've been nominated for an Academy Award,
mm-hmm.
and you went to the award ceremony.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss it.
And you had your speech all written?
I did. I had my speech written. Everybody does. You have to. You're stupid because you get up there, you'll freeze.
And what would the speech have been? You can give it now. and the winner is, and the wait, hold on, I'll do it right here. I'll tear the envelope. And the winner, best animation short. Is that what it was?
Best animated short, yeah.
Best animated short, and the winner is?
Well,
Mr. Bill Plimpton.
I want to thank my mother and my father. You see, it's just garbage.
I'm loving this.
Nothing really original. Although I did want to do a hand signal. Unfortunately, you can't see it on the radio, but I want to do a hand signal where I point to my eye, and then I'll do my hands. I do a heart with my hands.
I love.
And then I go to the camera. It would have been very cool. It would have been very cool. But I didn't win, so...
So we would have. This is what we missed: you pointing to your eye, then making a heart with your fingers,
yes.
and then pointing at the camera.
Yeah,
well, that would
big
have been
deal.
No, that would have been something. Now, do you remember seeing? Now, I know Terry Gilliam has become a friend of yours and a fan of yours, Matt Groening too. But do you remember, like, seeing Monty Python? I guess you and I are maybe the same generation.
Yeah.
That was a seminal moment for you.
Yeah, that was a wonderful show, and. You know, I met him at the Dubai Film Festival, I think 2 years ago, and he knows my work. He loves my work. And I had a packet of the drawings from Idiots and Angels, actually, there. And he said, oh, let me see your portfolio. And so I brought it out, and it was late as a party, and we were drinking and everything, and he started looking at it. And you're going to bleep this, but should I say it or not? I don't know.
Well, don't say it if you're going
to. Okay. No, you can go ahead and say it because Tim's ready to bleep it.
So anyway, he's got, oh, these drawings are great. It's great. You know, he used a few profanities. And then his press agent said, hey, you know, Terry, we got BBC. They're waiting to interview you. And says, oh, go tell BBC to F themselves. I want to see Plimpton's drawings. And he was really obsessed with them. And so he said, what can I do to help you? And I said, well, you know, can you present the film? He said, yeah, I'd love to. So that's the way he is. He's a really down-to-earth, cool guy. He supports, you know, projects that he likes. And he really helps
I mean, that's the highest praise. I mean, those little animated shorts, they were the gold standard, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, they were great. He's brilliant. He influenced a lot of people.
So you come up with your own scenario. This is just, what a great life. You come up with your own stories.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up in the morning. You're drawing them. You go to your studio, your own studio,
mm-hmm.
just around the corner from Christine.
Yeah, it's about five employees.
Five employees, right. And they're doing what for you? They're coloring?
They color, they scan, they composite, they edit, they put the films together, actually. I just give them a stack of drawings.
They probably come to hate Emmylou Harris, is my guess.
Who could hate Emmylou Harris?
As soon as you leave, I'm telling you, they're turning the channel. Okay, so they do that all day, and then once a year you're producing there's a new film every year?
Every 2 or 3 years I do a feature. Every year I do 2 or 3 shorts. I got one short. Do you have a second to talk about this? It's very cool. Do people, you have a really smart audience. I'm sure they know who Winsor McKay is.
Sure.
Little Nemo in Slumberland, Gertie the Dinosaur. Well, the last film of his career was called The Flying House, which incidentally influenced Pixar to do Up.
Okay.
And it's been a neglected film, and so I took it.
What's his name?
Winsor McKay.
Winsor McKay.
Okay.
He's probably the greatest animator ever lived.
Oh, Winsor McKay. Oh, fantastic. He did that film about the flying house.
Unless I'm wrong.
And so I took it upon myself out of my pocket. I cleaned every frame of scratch. And this is 1921 it was made. And I put color on it. I hired Patricia Clarkson and Matthew Modine to do the voices. I scored music to it, colored it, and released it as a new film, a hybrid, actually. We get a lot of static from purists, you know, archivists saying, oh, my God, you're colorizing Citizen Kane. You know, you're ruining the meaning of the film. But the thing is, it won first prize at the Williamsburg Film Festival. And you know what? Winsor McKay never won a prize in his lifetime.
There you go.
Thanks to me. He's an award winner.
Are you? That's a great story. Are you in touch with his estate? Does he have surviving?
He has a grandson, and he gave him the project as blessing. It's public domain anyway, so it's not a problem.
So that's how animators pay it forward. That's fantastic.
But yeah, pay it backward, pay it forward.
Yeah, exactly.
But the cool thing was that that this film was made in 1921, and William Randolph Hearst, his boss, because he did cartoon for the Herald, I think. Forbid him to make any more animation, and because he was forbidden to make animated films, he lost his passion for drawing, and he died soon after. So Hearst really screwed him over, and so that's why he could have been bigger than Disney.
That's the first negative thing I've ever heard about William Randolph Hearst. now, very quickly, before we lose you, you know, there we probably have people listening that want to draw, that love to draw, that envy your life and how you carved out a career independently. Mm-hmm. What advice do you give kids? Should they avoid Disney and Pixar?
No. Those are wonderful, wonderful ways to get work and to make a living, because you get health insurance, you get great security, job security, meet a lot of great people, you get become famous. I'm just getting by as an indie, but
is comic books, is that another avenue?
Not so much. I think the internet now is a place for people to really have a career in animation. But advertising and games is a big employment in games.
You're doing a lot of stuff for Geico now, right?
I used to. I got displaced by the Gecko.
Oh, man.
He kind of kicked me out there. But I did do stuff. But you should talk about the book.
I will. I won't let you leave. It's a great coffee table book, independently animated, Bill Plinton. And this is a career-spanning retrospective.
Who Rizzoli put it out, and it's been called the best art book of the year.
And Terry Gilliam had nice words to say. And
I tell a lot of inside stories. I even talk about films that I hate, like Hanna-Barbera.
Well, Yogi Bear. Don't get me started.
No, don't you see that people came to the park with their picnic baskets? And Yogi Bear and Boo. Oh, we'll get into it later. I'll explain it later. You obviously don't understand it. You're not a fan of Hanna-Barbera?
No, a Rankin Bass. I hate that stuff.
Yeah, what is the problem with Hanna-Barbera?
Well, it's just slideshow. And then they do good voices. And the music is so repetitive. It's the same music every...
In the background when they're running.
Yeah, the bongo drums, yeah. It's just nothing creative about it.
And you also have this documentary playing all over the world now, Adventure in Plimptunes.
Adventures in Plimptunes by Alexia Anastasio. And we haven't decided on the New York premiere yet, but we'll definitely let you know. Check out plimptunes.com.
Plimptunes.com.
You're really an inspiration. I mean, you did it your way, the way, like as Frank Sinatra would say.
Right.
And you didn't sell out, and I don't know how you did it.
I'm open to selling out, actually.
Yeah,
if anybody has some money and wants me to animate their life story.
Now, very quickly before you go, if Disney knocked on your door tonight and said, hey, we still got that $1 million. $1 million, Bill Plinton.
I know.
It's a game show.
It's a tough decision, and it's a decision that every artist has to make, whether you want to work for a big studio or be on your own, and everybody has a different solution.
Well, we're glad you're with us tonight. And, hey, don't leave, because we're going to do a halftime report a little later.
Right.
Bill Plimpton, everyone, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Hey, man, thanks very much.
Thanks, Bill. Do I get to keep the DVD?
You can get the DVD.
All right. I scored a DVD, Andy. What did you get?
I got a handshake.
I won that interview.
You did. You won that interview. I thought I had the book, but he took it with him.
Yeah.
It
my only book.
Yeah, it's really
He had post-its all over. Yeah, you think he would have given it to you with his own post-its on the table?
I've learned the lesson. It's all a learning curve. Next time we have a guest that brings a big expensive coffee table book, puts it on my desk, I'm going to hide it.
Our next two guests.
They're pretty and funny.
They're pretty and funny, and they're the creators of the first female sitcom on the FX channel. Please welcome Ilana Glazer and Abby Jacobson of Broad City. Hi, gals. Welcome.
Hi, gals.
Hey.
Hi, gals.
Hey, boys. Fellas.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, gals. What's
Thanks up? For calling us pretty. I agree, and I think you are
excellent.
Funny.
Yeah, right.
I apologize for, like, my hat and my sneakers.
It's radio, dude.
It's right? a little something called here. Style.
Should we...
Oh, no. Correct me on the FX thing.
So it's
thing.
Not like we just have a script deal. We got a
pilot.
All right. It's not, we're not
Don't
too serious yet.
Oh, you haven't been picked up yet?
Oh, no. I have some connections at FX, and I heard some good things today. I'll tell you later.
Are you joking?
Right. I am.
She doesn't understand sometimes when people are kidding around.
Oh, my God. It's like I'm stoned all the time. I don't get sarcasm.
No, you're great. No, it's going to be great. Is it called Broad City?
Hell yeah.
So they saw... No, I saw some of your webisodes. They were
like,
funny.
These girls are so gorgeous.
These girls are so funny.
We didn't even have to pitch it. They said, they're so gorgeous. Let's give them a shot.
Wait. You put these things on the... Tell me how it worked. You put these things on the... Because I'm envious and everyone is... So you put these things on the web. You shot these things. They're very funny. A lot of it is you two in parks and on benches,
mm-hmm.
dishing the dirt on people as they walk by. It really is charm. It really has a weird, twisted charm to it. And then somebody, meanwhile, cut across town. Somebody at FX, some executive in some cubicle.
Across town. Town is the entire nation.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody in LA is in some cubicle, checks you out, likes what they see. The phone rings. Is that how it worked?
No.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Not quite that. I wish that's how it happened.
Okay. So
how did Amy Poehler get involved?
So basically, we did two seasons of the show, and for the last the second season, we decided for our finale we were going to go all out, sort of amp up the budget, sort of amp up the
So wait, I want to say first season we didn't really know. We weren't like, oh, wouldn't this be great if let's do this smaller project and then we'll. Try to expand it. We had no idea.
When you say season, this is self-financed?
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're putting 10-minute little webisodes on the air.
Two-minute webisodes.
Two
we
minutes.
Are women who are talking with our shirts on. 2 minutes is all anybody will give us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
First season, we're like 1 foot in front of the other, you know? Second season, then, yes, we amped it up.
Second season, we like decided, you know, we're going to create like a schedule for this show and we're going to really invest a little bit of our money in it. And by the finale, we really invested more in it. And
we were working a job together next to each other at the desk and like writing every day, writing after, like G-chatting about.
What job was this? Like at some office?
Yeah.
That's how you met?
No.
Okay, you just got a job.
We just needed to finance this project.
Our friend got Ilana the job. She got me the job.
Yeah.
Okay.
We might be being broadcast. There's always a chance.
Okay.
That's all right.
We were like, FMU.
So we.
Andy, can you call more attention to the fact that we just violated federal law?
I don't see how I could.
FCC.
Okay. So you're sitting next to each other in your day job. You're earning your paychecks. Your channel, you're putting all that money back into your little webisodes.
Yeah.
This is a great story. This is so inspiring.
What money did you put into your webisodes? Did you like have explosions going on or like, what?
We just had like people working the cameras and people. We fed people very well. I think,
and we were like super enthusiastic. We like had to compensate, you know. So we were like, "Isn't this fun?" You know,
yeah,
and like
it was fun.
We paid the director editors and we fed them.
This is a great story. This is people sitting on their asses at home should be taking notes. I mean, you guys did this yourself,
or people on their asses just watch when.
What
it's
if they're
on.
Sitting on their pen?
Well, that's the same. It doesn't matter. That's a good point, Ken. Thank you.
Take it out.
So you're in the derailing conversation business now. Is that what?
So then
you're doing these. So you're uploading these 2-3 minute little pieces.
Yeah, and also what was like important what was happening was we weren't getting high quantity views. We were getting high quality viewers. No joke. Not just saying that to like kiss our viewers' butts.
Yeah,
because
when you look at YouTube, you can tell the quality.
You mean you had 14 viewers, but they were had college diplomas?
No, they had paper. We will only take highest. We want lowest.
You filter out your audience.
But it's that they would put it on their Facebook,
on their friends, their parents.
They'd be like, you have to see this. So it was like, you know, it
very
was our own PR.
Like spreading around.
Something called buzz, which we've never experienced firsthand, but we've heard about it.
Yeah, I've heard really great things about buzz.
And then, meanwhile, at FX, they say these girls have something.
Not yet.
Okay.
So for this finale, we were like, you know what? I'm going to say F it.
Yeah.
Wait, we should say about the scheduling thing with...
Okay, so we had Kristen Schaal scheduled to... Was that okay?
Yeah. But they can't...
Yeah. We had Kristen Schaal scheduled to be in the finale. And we were like, this is awesome. We love her. And it rained out that weekend. We rescheduled. And then
the weekend that she was scheduled, she had a family emergency, and we were like, this was already like highest budget we had done.
Ever. We had like a Steadicam operator. We were like going nuts.
Oh my God. It was crazy. And we were also like, we're running out of money.
Yeah.
And so we had these days scheduled, paid for already, and we were like, God, we lost Kristen.
And we knew it was going to be our last web episode. We had like written a pilot already, and we were like trying to do this, and we were like, yeah.
And I was like negative. I'm like, screw it.
I was not negative at all. I was like, no.
But then she was like, Amy. And we were like,
yes.
By the way, this is the plot of the new Muppet movie, too. just to give you a little heads up.
Well,
they need a celebrity. There's only 4 days left.
So
you need a celebrity.
Well, we didn't want just like, it wasn't like.
Yeah, it's not like Hasselhoff. Right.
It wasn't
a long list. It was
we
want some amazing, dope person, you know?
And we both came up at the UCB and thought that would just sort of be the most perfect way to.
So you reached out to Amy.
So we got in touch with her. She'd already seen it. Loved it.
Well, this is a little Hollywood story.
We were like, no way. Oh, my God. And then we
shot. The shoot day was awesome.
She couldn't do that weekend, so we planned another day, which Kristen could do. We're like, running out of money. Who cares?
Now you've got female stars coming out of your butt.
Yes.
Yeah. Some people don't have any, and you're batting them off with a stick.
Hell, yeah.
Yeah, and then
Andrea Rosen included.
Yeah.
So many. Yeah, and then we...
Okay, so you did your finale. Now, is that something we can see on the World Wide Web?
Oh, yeah. It's called I Heart New York. This is a longer one. We do have our clothes on. We are talking, but it's so good that it won't matter.
Yeah.
If you love New York City, I think you're going to like it a lot.
That's the one with you running through the city.
Yeah, exactly. It's... God...
I guess people could have two monitors on the desk and one showing porn and one showing you.
Yeah, you can merge them in your mind.
That is such a good idea.
Yeah, so you get the best of both worlds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm just thinking
we should
out
do
loud.
Like a format where we have like the whole screen is porn and then a square
so
on top of it.
That would be funny. Yeah,
you really should do that.
Yeah, okay. So
that really is a $1 million idea.
Yeah. Sorry. So
TJ Misney directed it.
Then FX season?
Nope. Not yet.
Oh, for the love of
God. So then Amy, during that filming, is like, so are you guys thinking about like a TV version? We're like, yeah. We're like trying to be cool. We're like, yeah, a couple of production companies interested, huh? And then we were like, let's hold off on these production companies, see if Amy wants to executive produce. We ask her. She's so down. And then we're like, all right, let's get this thing going. And our manager, we had this like, you know, we were going to go to L.A. for a month of the month of August 2011.
Before this happened.
Yeah. And you know. Pitch that month, but then Amy became involved, so we were like, okay, we're slating off August and September, and her manager Dave Becky got involved, and then we went to LA. And
I've never heard a story quite like that.
Listen, the message
is every phone call
you gotta ask.
This is the greatest. I love it.
Sweet.
It's an inspiration. It really is. No, I love these stories. It's like Sylvester Stallone writing Rocky for himself and Matt Damon writing his movie for himself.
Yeah.
Because you can't just wait for the phone to ring. Isn't that the lesson?
Hell no.
Isn't that the lesson you guys are...
People who can wait for the phone to ring are like models. You know what I mean? They're needed in every shot of everything. Totally. Wait for the phone to ring.
You've got to make your own break. You've got to make your own.
Reminding me we're not models.
I truly love this story.
Because I feel like I just missed it, you know?
Right under the pass.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, exactly. You have to do it for yourself.
Okay, so now there's a development deal at FX.
Yeah. We're not to series yet, in the first step.
Tell them, next time you talk to them, tell them I would watch.
Okay, I will.
So somebody would
watch. I totally will.
And what now, where else can we see you guys on stage, or is there anything you want to plug besides your web?
You know, you could check our individual websites. AbbyJacobson.com is it?
It's AbbyJ.com. AbbyJacobson.com
right.
is another illustrator. I'm an illustrator too. Ooh. She's another Ooh. Illustrator. It's bad news.
Wait, with the same name?
Same yeah. name. I spelled my name with an I.
No joke. I'm not joking. For $400, I could have her killed.
I might take you up.
Would you do it, or you?
No, there's a guy. No, I would.
So you for free will be the middleman.
It'd be my pleasure. I'm such a fan.
Yeah, and AlanaGlazer.com for shows. But you can check out Abby's illustrations too. AbbyJ.com, AlanaGlazer.com.
And then, are you still at a day job where you're at desk next to each other?
No.
Did you quit at the same time?
No,
I quit first.
Abby was like, I can't stand it anymore.
I was like, I gotta get up.
Was it a great quit?
It was awesome. I mean, it felt good. It was like...
Was it?
It was... I mean, it was like... I felt like I fired my boss. It was awesome. But like lighthearted. I was like, nicely. I was like, listen...
But then you left your friend in the lurch because she had to...
Well, I had to make money.
I knew
in the lurch.
She was
I was making money
soon.
For doing very little. It was fine.
What was the name of the company?
We can say it.
Yeah, we have insurance for that.
Lifebooker. It's like a Groupon.
Booker.com?
Lifebooker. It's like Groupon for all
beauty
processes to fix the external.
Pilates.
Well, someday you'll use all that and you'll do
it.
Are you? Uh-huh. Or you have an office show in the works? You have a show, but you can set a show in an office and use all your experience.
Oh, yeah.
We're potentially incorporating some of that stuff into
Yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
Remember?
Totally. That's right.
Yeah, good idea, Andy. They do their whole webisode thing outside, and they'll just, like, move into the office.
Yeah.
Just throw it.
Yeah, it's about two guys, all right? In an office now. No.
And what did you guys do today? Like, what's a day in your life? Oh, we have to go. Okay, but just very quickly, what did you do today?
I moved into an apartment today.
Abby had a terrible day.
I had a terrible day today.
The elevator wasn't working. She drove a van to Astoria and came back.
In a U-Haul.
And were
facility.
You helping Abby move, or you had some great
no,
excuse? What was your excuse?
I am filming an independent feature film right now, written and directed by Chioke Nasor.
She's the star of the film.
How to Follow Strangers, and I filmed that.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'll look for that, too. Now, listen, we need you to stick around a little bit, because
duh.
We're going to do a...
Andy, duh.
Duh.
We'll totally stick around.
You're not jetting off to some Aspen, some kind of party. Okay, well, that's fine, because we're going to try something new right here. What are we doing, Ken? I'm taking my cue from you.
Well, we want to thank them.
Oh, we thank
them? To get them off the stage.
We want to thank you.
Thank you.
Alana Glazer and Abby Jacobson, thanks so much.
I really do love that their story.
Yes, we wanted to get them off the stage.
So we could begin.
So that we could begin our recap.
Halftime recap.
Yeah.
Like they do in sporting events.
Yeah.
After the second quarter.
Previously on 7 Second Delay.
It's for people that are tuning in late.
Wow, he's even playing the Pink Floyd music. That's great.
Right. So it's for people that are tuning in late. We want to bring them quickly up to date. What happened? Laura introduced us.
Well, first I did the count. Back up, Andy.
Yeah.
First I did the countdown.
Yeah, that was great.
Okay, and the people on the radio don't hear the countdown.
You want to do the countdown?
Yeah, I want to do the full countdown.
Go ahead.
60 seconds to air.
Oh, for the love of God, don't do that. Don't do the whole countdown. Just start it from 5.
50 seconds.
Oh, no, Ken, why would you?
To air. Okay, well, then we did the countdown.
Then we came out and we schmoozed. Oh, there we had the theme song.
Yeah.
Then we talked about the weather.
Yeah, we complained about the PATH train. I made a really bad Obama joke.
Oh, because he's in town.
I made an audience to joke ratio joke.
And then the idea was we were going to go upstairs and try to get people.
And in fact, we did go upstairs.
We did go upstairs.
And we got one person to come down. Brian, I believe.
Well,
Brian, join us on stage, Brian.
Brian.
Brian, come on down.
He's gone, baby.
No, Brian's here.
He's gone. Oh, here he is.
Brian, what was it that put you over the edge to make you come down here tonight?
I had absolutely nothing else to do.
There you go. Big hand for Brian.
Okay. So we got Brian to come down and increased our numbers like dramatically.
Yes, and then we had Bill Plimpton on the stage. Please welcome back Bill Plimpton.
Okay. Oh,
hi, Bill.
Sorry about
that. He's too smart. He didn't bring his expensive coffee table book back with him. So, Bill, you came out, and just to recap, you kind of talked about your life.
Yes,
you talked about the new movie that you're working on.
The Cheatin', and then, of course, the book. Independently animated.
You talked about the big Disney offer you had.
Yeah, Disney wanted to own your dreams.
Yes.
It started when you were 14. You reached out to Disney.
Turning down $1 million from Disney, which was my childhood dream.
That's right.
So,
told the Terry Gilliam story.
Terry Gilliam's fun. It's exciting. Yeah.
That's right.
And which he told his handlers to F off.
You know what was great about how you told that story? You made it very suspenseful. You said, there's a curse word in this story.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And then you made it very exciting. Everyone was sitting on every word. It's a brilliant way to tell a story.
Well, I had to quote him verbatim because otherwise you don't get the flavor of Terry Gilliam.
I mean,
that's how Terry talks day in, day out.
I dream about somebody from Monty Python saying, I can't talk to the press right now. I'm talking to Andy Breckman. So you're living a dream, and you're living my dream, at least. Mm-hmm. And it was great to meet you. And then he gave a little
advice to young illustrators and animators.
Yeah.
Then we tried to plug his book, but we're very lame at plugging books. But independently animated Bill Plimpton.
That's right.
And then as well as the documentary Adventures in Plimptoons.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we thanked him, and then we brought on Elena and Abby.
Well, we said goodbye to Bill Plimpton. Thank you, Bill.
Okay, then we brought back. So let's bring them back.
Yeah, then we introduced Ilana Glazer and Abby Jacobson of Broad City.
I believe it's pronounced Elena.
No. But it's
what?
Okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's
I believe
okay.
it's Elena. Well, there's no way to settle this now.
That's okay.
We don't have time.
It's all right.
But you guys were great. I didn't know you before this week, but I loved your webisodes, and then I loved the story you told about your webisodes.
Thanks so much.
What were the high points of there?
The high point for me was the idea of having your webisodes shown in a really small square surrounded by hardcore pornography.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to walk away with from tonight, too.
It's a million-dollar idea.
So, Abby.
Well, to me, the story, I love the story. I love the image of them working at desk at a day job, at a dreary day job, and putting the money away and putting it all toward these short films, and then having the short films do what they're supposed to do, get them the attention they deserve.
And you ended with some kind of moral for writing for yourself.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
How did
you think the interview went?
It was fun.
Really fun. No
yeah.
joke. So fun.
Yeah, you should get out more. That wasn't.
I thought this was.
We really don't.
Interview.
Enough.
We
no
don't
joke.
No, it was great. No, it was fantastic. And, and then that brings all our listeners. Are they up to speed now?
And then we thank them.
Then we thank them.
Ilana Glazer and Abby Jacobson.
Yeah.
Of Broad City.
And then we began the halftime report.
Yes. Now we need to recap the halftime report.
Yeah, which was basically we sort of recapped the first half of the show. We talked about the intro.
Yeah.
We talked about talking about the weather.
Yes.
And then we talked about going upstairs.
Right.
And then we talked about...
then we reintroduced.
How we talked about Bill.
We had Brian, who was the poor guy who we pulled down here for the show.
And then,
Ilana, we reintroduced
and
Bill
then
Plimpton,
Abby,
and
came back out.
Yep.
And then we sort of started talking about the recap again.
We just finished the recap of the recap.
Yeah.
And now you're recapping the recap of the recap.
Yeah.
It's great. You
it
know,
only gets better.
We'll never get. We will never.
You'd think it would be annoying, but it's not.
We will never reach the end of this.
Yeah. So it's a talk show and an Escher print. It's kind of both. And now what do we do?
Oh, you know what I have to do?
Yeah.
One thing is I have to put a microphone back over here. No particular.
Why?
No particular reason. There we go.
Now our next guest is from Australia, and you didn't want to do my idea of have a toilet on stage. To have her flush it, and so we could watch it go down counterclockwise.
There were a number of problems with that.
Why? It seems fantastic. I've always wanted to have an Australian flushing a toilet so I could see it go the other way.
Even if that were true
about
the toilet flushing the other direction, which it is not.
What?
Even if the Coriolis effect were true for toilets, which it is not.
You think because you know the term Coriolis effect, you have some authority?
You should know the term.
Everybody knows south of the equator, the toilet goes, flushes the other way.
That's not the case.
Then explain this. Why is it true? You can't explain that. It's an
urban legend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the only way we could have proved it, and you wouldn't do it, is to bring a toilet on stage, a port-a-john,
right,
and have this woman flush it in our presence.
Well, here's the thing. Even if it were true, we are in the Northern Hemisphere.
No, but where's she from, Ken?
She's from Australia.
Okay.
But where's the toilet?
To yourself?
Where is the toilet?
The toilet is here.
But in the Northern Hemisphere.
But who's using the mechanism on the toilet? You're not even thinking.
It's not who uses the mechanism.
It's
what hemisphere the toilet is in. But it doesn't matter because it doesn't work anyway. The Coriolis effect doesn't apply to toilets.
It would have been a classic radio moment.
Toilets,
you nicked.
Toilets have an exemption from the Coriolis effect.
I would have been willing to spend $200 at a port-a-john here to have the Australian chick flush it. That would have made me laugh so hard.
Okay, Andy, I'm sorry.
But I was so excited about it.
And we will book another Australian guest, and we will have a toilet on stage.
Okay?
But right now, I'm sorry to disappoint you all the way from Australia.
So all she's going to do is sing.
Yeah. Please welcome Carly Bruce. Hi, Carly. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
We're so excited to have you here.
Yeah.
Set up, and she's joined tonight by Chris Perrello.
Carly, you still live in Australia, or you live here now?
I very much live here now. I'm going home in a couple of weeks, actually.
When you go home, could you do us a favor? Take a video camera into the bathroom. I'm sure everyone asks you this. All right, so we can settle this once for all. Now, I'm so sorry that this is shameful of me.
No, I get asked all the time.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Do you really?
I really do.
Do you really?
Honestly, everybody, it's like the first thing people ask.
Isn't
all the
that
time.
Just...
And let me ask you this. In Australia, do people think that in the United States, the toilets flush opposite of the way they do there?
Honestly, I've never heard about it until I came here.
Right.
And people just started asking me.
What else is there to talk about with people from Australia?
My toilet in Australia, sorry, that got really dirty really quickly, didn't it? It didn't even go one way or the other. It just
goes straight down?
Yeah, so I never really thought about it.
This is the kind of stuff I was hoping to get into. And I understand you're also a singer.
Yes, when I'm not flushing toilets, I do sing, yes.
No, you sing beautifully, and we're thrilled to have you. And what will be the first song we'll hear tonight?
We're going to play a song called Song About Love. And this is Chris Perrello on guitar, born and bred New Yorker.
Thanks for helping out, Chris.
I hope you guys like it. No, this song is not about you. It'll never be about you. Why should it be? Do you write about me? So the moon is of no use now. May it fall and kill the old cow that jumps merrily. That jumps merrily. Misery loves company, and I see rain. So I'll never dream of autumn or a song of love that gaily sings through the trees. That sings the trees. Little ballad, dear, stop playing. Pretty serenades start fading. And happy I'll be. Happy I'll be. No more strolls down Lover's Lane. 'Cause misery loves company, and I see rain. La da da.
Amazing, Carly. Carly Bruce.
Oh, thanks.
You have such a beautiful voice.
Thank you, guys.
Could you do something like without a melody and industrial, kind of?
You mean so they can get airplay on FMU?
Yeah.
No, that's just beautiful. Now, what are your influences? Like, what do you listen to at home, and what did you grow up listening to?
I actually grew up playing piano and saxophone in Australia. I played in the big band at school and sang in the choir and stuff like that.
But were you listening to like American Standards and Elvis
Gerald? At a point. I mean, my big band leader was, you know, I was playing saxophone, and he was just like, one day he was like, you should sing something with this. So, you know, at a point I started listening to a lot of that repertoire and kind of got into it. But yeah, I mean, I listen to everything. My parents don't play music, but listen to everything and love music, so
just beautiful.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I don't know what you're doing here. Some kind of some kind of clerical
your
error.
Musical background is playing saxophone in a marching band,
pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah,
wow,
yep.
That's how all the greats started.
really,
yeah,
yeah. And all right, we have time for one more.
No, these are original songs.
Yeah, these are original.
Wow, this is beautiful. And this is all from your first release, Paperback Lover.
Yeah.
Which will be released, it's not quite out yet, is that right?
No, it's going to be out early next year, I would say. We're almost at mastering stage, so it's taken a little while, but we're out. So
Oh, man.
This next one's not going to be on it, though.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
It's a sneak preview, actually, of Chris's music. He has a band of his own in the city, and it's beautiful, writes amazing music. So.
Oh, great. And do you have a website where people can follow you?
I do. It doesn't contain much information at the moment because we're redoing it all with the album coming out.
Does it have like an animation of a toilet flushing the opposite way?
I think it will when it's updated. Okay. Yeah.
But she's also a singer. She's not just a toilet flusher. there's more to this woman, Ken.
Nah, that's about it.
And Chris, tell me, what is the name of your band and where could we find them?
Andy, give him a microphone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can get yours. Wow. My band's called Things I Wonder. We're on iTunes and Amazon and stuff like that. We'll be at Pete's Candy Store this coming Monday at 9. But also Carly's band, December 11th at the Highline, 8:30? Yeah.
Oh, that's gonna be a lot of fun.
Hey, we're running out of time, Andy. So
we have to roll. Yeah. Okay.
We gotta play.
We have to play.
This is the one we wrote together.
Oh, good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carly. Carly Bruce, everybody.
Oh, thank you, guys.
And Chris Perrello.
And who else should we thank, Ken?
We want to thank Alana Glazer and Abby Jacobson of Broad City, Bill Plimpton, Carly Bruce.
And the guy that came in from
Chris Perrello. Brian, who came in from the street. Yeah. We want to thank the UCB Theater.
Laura Griffin, our eighth producer.
Yes, thank you, Laura. Thanks to DA the DJ on organ and our soundmen, Justin and Juan, tonight. Special thanks to Nick the Bard, Tim Lacey, Jeff Wendt, Connor Gaudet, John Dalton, Mike Noble, Laura Griffin, Andrea Salenzi, Henry Gamel, Pat Byrne, Mike Dawson, Gregory LeBlanc, Matt Shurtleff, and Gabby Dunn. We'll be back here in 2 weeks with our guests,
Suzanne Vega,
Kiefer Sutherland. Sigourney Weaver.
But Suzanne Vega for real.
Yeah, right.
No, for real.
Oh, yeah, for real, Suzanne Vega.
Yeah.
And not for real, Kiefer Sutherland and Sigourney
Weaver.
Yeah,
they're not for real.
No.
So if you don't like them, come on down.
Yeah. And this is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org. Stay tuned for Nardwar interviewing the Monkees tonight. Thanks for coming, everybody.
lucky, you and I. Lucky girl, lucky guy. And when I hold your hand or touch your cheek, I know I'm a lifetime lucky streak. A lucky rainbow lights the sky when we kiss, when we sigh. They call me lucky, Mr. Lucky Guy. And you're the reason why. Evening, chillin'. This is Don Hayes from the Mark 2100 21 Lounge, right on the ocean in Fort Lauderdale. And we have a nice little group here tonight, and we're going to give you a rendition of what we do every night.